In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes people say to me, Father, why don't you tell us more about yourself when you're preaching? That's not the point of preaching anyway. But I will share with you that Pezzi Ted and I were gone for a week. Those of you who were in church last Sunday probably recognize that. And we were in Florida. We were in Florida not only that's because that's where Pezzi Ted is from and where I've lived several years throughout my life. But we were there to take care of a retirement home. Not a home in the generic sense, but in specific sense, a house. It reminds me that I'm 10 or 11 years away from either being in coma or being retired, one of the two. And you get the advantage of seeing somebody at that stage of his life, because sometimes when priests are young and starting out, they can be very earnest, but still unfocused and unsure of themselves. And then midlife priests are going through all their midlife issues as they struggle to move forward and continue to do their work as a priest. But I'm in a countdown mode. And I'm in a countdown mode not because I can't wait to retire, but I know my time is limited. And so if the messages you hear from me from time to time sound a little bit urgent, it's because I know the time is urgent for me. And that within 10 or 11 years when I leave, I'm going to have to leave the parish to somebody else. And they're going to wonder what it is we were doing together all these years. And it will be a legitimate question. And so I'd like us to start thinking in those terms of where will we be in 10 years? Certainly I've asked the parish council to do that. But where will we be exactly in 10 years and how are we going to get there? And that's kind of the introduction to the introduction. But it's important, I think, for context. Now, when Pezzi Ted and I were in Florida, we rented a car, and then last Sunday, actually, we drove over Saturday, but we drove over to Tampa to visit a very good friend of mine who is a priest in Tampa. We had the opportunity to celebrate liturgy together, and it was glorious because we hardly ever get to do that. On the way over in our rental car, they had Sirius XM radio, which is fun to play with. Because this is not a commercial for Sirius, but it's interesting because you get to listen to all kinds of music, some songs you haven't heard in years and years and years. And as we were driving over, we were listening to one station. I think it's called The Bridge if you have Sirius, but it had all these songs from the time I remember from being little, and then going into my teenage years, and how each one of those songs conjures up a memory. Where were you when you first heard it? What about that other time you heard it? What were you doing? One of the songs they played was the Emerson, Lake, Palmer, From the Beginning. Those of you who are my age, you know that song. Those of you who aren't, you missed out on something. But I can remember playing it in an 8-track player. You could go to the store back then. This was before people took copyrights too seriously. You could buy these bootleg 8-tracks that just had the name on the side. They sold them in retail outlets, so I guess it was legal. I don't know. But then when you put them in your 8-track player, you'd listen to them. And I can remember listening to Emerson, Lake, and Palmer driving around in the 70s in my first car. And having not heard that song in years and years, those of you who are familiar with From the Beginning, it has a great guitar lick right in the beginning. And it just brought back memories. But now I've got a new memory, which is the time driving over with Pezzi Ted while we were in Florida preparing for retirement and then going to see my friend Father Savro. It all fits together. Who knows what I'll be thinking the next time I hear that song. Music does that to us, our favorite songs on the radio. They just bring back all kinds of memories. And I was thinking, in reflecting on that experience, what is it for us Christians that has that same effect on us? What conjures up those kinds of emotions and memories and just a deep-seated recollections that go beyond words? And we have a lot as Orthodox that have that effect on us. The way we worship, certainly divine liturgy, and then certain elements of divine liturgy, just walking into church and smelling the incense, seeing the icons, those have that kind of effect on us. our individual prayers that we do at home. All of us, I presume, at this point in our lives have our favorite prayers. And we do them, we know them, by heart, they're part of who we are. Sometimes the hymnology of the church will do that to us. Sometimes it doesn't, because it's a little bit removed from us. I know I go to many Christmas parties, and somebody will say, "Let's sing Iyenisisu," and everybody just kind of stares off into the space, and they'll say, "Let's sing Joy to the World," and everybody sings along. So that's not always true that hymns bring back memories for us. Sometimes they do. Those of us who sang in choirs know Taiki Zess's Soma Christu probably is one of those hymns. But I think universally for Christians, the thing that has that effect on us, that our favorite songs have on us, is our favorite scripture verses. And think about just scripture verses you know by heart, that you love to hear, that bring back memories to you and that cause you to think. "For God so loved the world," which is included in every divine liturgy, John 3:16. All those who have been baptized into Christ. Jesus saying, "It's not what goes into the mouth of a man, but what comes out of his mouth." This is what is important. And it's not only just the specific words from Scripture, but just the lessons of Scripture. Once again this morning, when I finally got the Gospel reading right, we had the occasion to hear the account of Jesus. Jesus and who? Jesus and Zacchaeus. And it's this story about somebody who knows his life needs help, who struggles to know Jesus, who finds himself in his own home with Jesus, who is not only saved but makes recompense, and it's a beautiful story. We hear that story, and every year it brings back some sort of emotional memory for us. Now, talking about the Bible should not make us uptight as Orthodox Christians. Sometimes we encounter other Christians and we hear the words, "The Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says." You don't hear that too much in San Francisco because, and I don't say this as a put-down, that's why it's so exciting to be church here, but this is a very unchurched region. So unlike perhaps the Southeast, not a lot of people are going to come up to you and tell you "the Bible says," because they're really not sure what the Bible says. But when you do hear those words, "the Bible says," out of Christians who are not Orthodox, that's okay, because much of Western Christianity, all of Protestant Christianity, grew out of the experience of the Roman Catholic Church, and those were Christians who were dissatisfied with the Roman Catholic Church and wanted then to just take the Bible, which at that point was intact, and tried to reconstruct church, rebuild the church, make church what church should have been. And so we have this experience of then opening the Bible, which by that point, again, is that the New Testament is an intact document. They open it up, and they say, "Well, this verse says this, this verse says that, and the Bible says." And so that should not make us too uncomfortable when we hear those words, "the Bible says," especially as Orthodox Christians, because when we say "the Bible says," we should really mean it. When you read in the New Testament somebody referring to the Scripture, whether it's Jesus or one of the epistle authors, when they're referring to, in the New Testament, when they're saying Scripture, they mean the Old Testament. The Old Testament was intact, and that was their Bible. The Bible of the first Christians was the Old Testament, which is why it is disturbing when some Christians tend to give short shrift to the Old Testament, or even to poo-poo it altogether. That is historically and theologically absurd. The Old Testament is the Scripture for the first Christians. And then there's this, this has almost become a cliche in Orthodox circles, but it's so true. The Divine Liturgy that we just celebrated, it was essentially cut and paste of the Bible. All these wholesale sections of the Divine Liturgy are taken right out of Scripture. Sometimes it's changed from the first person to the third person. It doesn't matter. It comes right out of the Bible. But the biggest reason talking about the Bible should not upset us too much as Orthodox Christians is because the New Testament grew up with the Orthodox Church. Back then it was just one church. the church that is, we still refer to as one holy Catholic and apostolic, but in the life of that infant church, of that emerging church, is when the writings that comprise the New Testament were put down to paper or papyrus, as the case may have been. And then, much later, in the 4th century, we find a final agreement on what the contents of the New Testament is. These documents were not written in the 4th century, they're written in the 1st century, but it's the experience of the church then that not only writes these documents, the Gospels, the Epistles, but then it is the experience of the church that decides ultimately what's going to be in today's table of contents of the Bible. So the New Testament, along with basic Christian theology, remember basic Christian theology, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Jesus is fully man, fully God. All of that is a gift of orthodoxy to all of Christianity. So if you have a friend that goes to the New Hope Worship Center in Omaha, Nebraska, this morning, when they gathered for worship in Omaha, Nebraska, and proclaimed what they believe, it's because of the Orthodox Church. Well, in the same way, at that New Hope Worship Center, I'm not sure if there is one. If there is, I hope they don't sue me for anything. If there is a New Hope Worship Center in Omaha, Nebraska, when they read from the New Testament, it's because of the experience of us Orthodox. It comes out of our life. This Bible that we should love, that we should know, that we should cling to. Now, how does one go about doing that? How does one go about becoming more intimately familiar, acquainted with, joined to the Bible, if you will, in many ways? Well, an easy way is just to do the daily readings that are appointed for the liturgics of the church are available by referring to a calendar. You can go online. And if you're even out of time and don't have time to look up those readings, well, guess what you can do? You could just sign up, have the daily readings sent to you every morning in your email, so that when the Bed Bath & Beyond coupon comes there, right next to it is going to be the daily readings. And you have those daily readings. Regular reading of Scripture is something that all of us should be engaged in. And let me say that again. Regular reading of Scripture is all of us that something should be engaged in. And if you're reading something in the Bible that you don't understand or you find boring, and I can certainly see you might be reading something in the Old Testament that gets you bogged down, well, you know what? Go read something else. It's a big book. Turn to some other chapter. So turn to another book. Turn to another part of the Bible and start reading. And while you're reading, by the way, don't think you have to punish yourself by reading a scholarly edition of the Bible. If you're reading for fun, then read a fun translation like the New International Version or even the Good News Bible. It's okay. You can even refer to some books about the Bible. Pesitetta knows that I'm reading this book now. I found it on my bookshelf. Don't know really where it came from. But it's a synopsis of the Bible with little snippets here and there and commentaries. It's delightful. It's informative. It ties a lot of things together. Another way to become familiar with the Bible is just to memorize your favorite verses. And my friend Father Stavro in Tampa is doing that this year with his parish. Recently, we have fully entered the age of social media. And once I figure out how to use Twitter, which I think will be this week, I'm going to start tweeting out a Bible verse every week for us to memorize together. And if you're on that Twitter feed, then you'll have that verse. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I'd love to have a Holy Trinity app, and since there's probably 10 people in this church right now that could do it, anybody that wants to put one together, that would be great. But there will be a weekly verse for us to memorize and to make it part of our lives. And then, of course, here at Holy Trinity, we have Faith and Fellowship. And Faith and Fellowship meets every Tuesday. It is a small groups ministry, and in Faith and Fellowship, we are doing what? We are studying 2 Corinthians right now. We are studying the Bible. And we're studying it not simply just to learn the content, but to learn how the content applies to our lives. Now, I mentioned I mentioned before how powerful it is when you hear your favorite tune and what emotions that brings out to you. Well, think about the next decade and what emotions would be evoked by us if the following were true. Imagine if our parish more and more and more and more made sure that its governing values were shaped by what's in the Bible. Imagine if in our parish that all of our faithful could allow the words of Scripture to roll off their lips. Not because they'd memorize them as a computer might, but because those words of Scripture had been burned into their hearts. Imagine a parish where the content of Scripture is at work in our lives. Imagine a parish where when annually we hear about Zacchaeus, we go, I want to be that guy. I want to climb the tree. I want to see Jesus. I want him in my home. I want to make recompense. I want to be saved. Imagine a parish that loved the Bible and cherished the Bible and clung to the Bible as much as the Christians of the first century. I don't know about you, but certainly that would be music to my ears.